Thank you, Emily Bowie. I appreciate Miss Emily, and I appreciate all of our young people that we acknowledge today, but all of our young people, I'm so proud of them, and just watching them grow up here in this church is an amazing thing to me. You know, just watch these young people. I remember Emily as well when they first came, and all of them, I just look across this congregation, and I appreciate all of our young people. Let me just say, as you open your Bibles today, if you'll open the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you're turning there, let me just say again, on behalf of our family, I know Dwayne read a card from my mother, and so thank you for praying for my mom. But let me just say this, and I don't want to say a whole lot right now, but I've already said a lot, but thank you for the outpouring of the love and the compassion and just the arms and the hugs and all of the things you've given to our cards. We had a stack of cards at our home about that tall, and everybody has just been so gracious, not only in this church, but other churches as well, but especially this church. And let me just say thank you. My dad was a good dad, left a good legacy for us as a family, and so that's what's important, isn't it? And so I thank God for the life that my dad had, and thank you for praying for us. Today I want to talk about raising a champion for Christ. This message is near and dear to my heart because we're about to embark on a journey in our church coming in August. We're going to be going into two services, and you'll hear more about that on June the 1st. So I'm going to challenge all of you right now to be here on June the 1st, Sunday week, as I preach on vision. I'm going to share the vision that I have as God's given it to me about where Lindsay Lane's going to be in 5 to 10 years. You know, have you ever thought about that? Where's your family going to be in 5 to 10 years? Where are these people going to be in 5 to 10 years? Where's Lindsay Lane going to be as a church in 5 to 10 years? So as a shepherd of this church, as a pastor of Lindsay Lane, it's my responsibility to stay before God and to cast the vision as I see it, God growing our church, keeping our church vibrant, and growing this great church. So I'm excited. I really am. And today's message, I want to just kind of speak into our young people's lives today, to the parents and grandparents. I'm excited for all of you, not only our seniors, but all of you who will be getting out of school and for your school work and all your dedication and all of that. So I'm excited about that. You know, I know the parents are excited for our seniors because they've invested a lot of time into you graduating into college as well. And all the dads saying, yeah, and a lot of treasure too. And so they're investing in you as a family, and we're investing in you as a church family. We really are. Our church is investing in you and your lives, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do in your life. Education is very important. It really is. You can't put a value on education. Someone said it like this: school seeks to get you ready for examination. Life gives the finals, right? Young people, you may not realize that, but you're graduating high school and just welcome to life. Welcome to the next phase, the next stage of your life. And those graduated college, welcome to the career field. And welcome, because education is important, but life gives the finals. It really is. Someone says a testimony is nothing more than having a test. We've all been through tests, and we all have testimonies. William H. Armstrong said this. Listen, young people. The teacher can light the lantern and put it in your hand, but you must walk into the dark. And so you're on a journey today. We're all on a journey. But our young people, these graduates, are on a journey. Our college graduates, they're on a journey. This journey called life. And we can teach them, we can train them, we can put the lantern in their hand, but they've got to take the journey into the dark themselves. And so we challenge you, and we're right there with you. That simply means the ball's in your court now. And so what you do with that is up to you. And so M.L. Boren said this: you should have education enough so you won't have to look up to people. And then you should have more education so you'll be wise enough not to look down at people. Amen? And so I pray you'll be wise enough in your education, in your degrees, and all of those things, that you won't look down on people as well. And speaking of the graduates, I'll just remind you about little Johnny. little Johnny told his mother. He said, "Mother, now that I'm a graduate of high school, I've found that God answers prayer in four ways." There he is, right there. He's grown up. He's graduated. All right? He said, "God answers prayer in four ways. Yes, no, wait a while, and then you've got to be kidding." Little Johnny asked his dad a question. He said, "Dad, can you sign your name with your eyes shut? And his dad said, "Well, little Johnny, sure, I think I can do that." He said, "Then, well, shut your eyes and sign my report card." A friend asked little Johnny's daddy, he said, "Has your son's education proved of any real value?" And his dad said, "Yes, indeed, it's entirely cured his mother of bragging on him." Education is important. It really is important. So I want to talk to you about that today. The message is entitled, "Raising a Champion for Christ." What a responsibility, parent, that you have in raising these young people to get an education, to have morals and values and principles. And then we as a church, we have that same obligation, we have that same commitment to come alongside of our parents, come alongside of our homes, and help raise up champions for Christ. That's my vision for this church. It really is. My vision is raising up another generation for the glory of God and raising up champions for Christ. And on June the 1st, I'm going to share that vision with our entire church, and I want you to be here for that message. You know, we had better be concerned and we better be focused on those who are coming behind us right here at Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. Who is following us? Who is coming behind us? Did you know that over 900 churches closed the doors in the Southern Baptist Convention last year? Andy John King is preaching right now at Lindsay Lane East, because that church were about to close their doors. There were no young people. None. And so they're closing the doors. 900 churches closing their doors because they failed to look. They failed to look at who's following them. Who's coming behind us? Who's taking up the torch? Where are our young folks? And so that's my heart. I really know that God has really stirred my heart in this area. And so I want to share that not only today, but also on June the 1st. All right? Someone just got back from from England. They said, "I got back from England, and Pastor, we were visiting all those great cathedrals that Charles Spurgeon preached in, D.L. Moody preached in some of those great cathedral churches." He said, they're there, but now they're restaurants. Now they're shops. People shopping in those same churches where thousands used to worship. And see, I'm telling you, we're dropping like flies. We really are. And it's important we preach the gospel, teach the word of God, and make sure we're bringing up a force behind us of our young people. Amen? And so we better raise up another generation, and that's what your pastor is leading our church to do. We've always done that. Now, let me just give you a statement. I got several statements today, and I hope I can get through this message. I got several statements I want to give you. So what's the problem, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, because most churches are failing to ask, and they refuse to focus on this issue. There are no young people hanging around. The world's philosophy of humanism, hedonism, and pluralism has sucked them in. Now, if you couple that with the 21st century's church that's becoming more carnal, more apathetic, and its failure to teach, train, and raise up the next generation for Christ, then what we're witnessing right before our eyes is a major exodus of a generation of young people from our churches. And I'll share some more on that, but I want to give you this little survey. Young people, listen, graduates, high school graduates, I want you to hear this. I found this survey. Students age 14 to graduation, and when these students graduate, the average, the survey says this, 2/3 of their class will have used drugs. 1 in 5 of the graduates will be an alcoholic. 2 of the 5 of the graduates will have consumed 5 or more drinks in one sitting. 20% will use tobacco daily. 46% of babies born out of wedlock will be to the kids their age. One-third of all abortions will be performed by girls their age. One-half will be sexually active. Of our graduating seniors, one-half will be sexually active. Second leading cause of death in their age group at graduation will be suicide. And so I'm telling you, we got to be concerned about the next generation coming behind us. And these graduates, they reached a milestone. They've graduated high school, and now what? Now what are they going to do? Some's going to enter college, and then what are they going to do when they get through with college? So we got to be mindful and cognizant of what's going to happen to our next generation. So I want to give you these three things we got to do. Number one, follow with me in your notes. We must teach. We've got to teach. We've got to instill God's word at a young age. Amen? We've got to teach them and train them, not only here at church, but especially in the home. We've got to teach them at a young age the word of God. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I want you to look in verse 14 and following. 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage, but I want you to see this. Paul writing to young Timothy, he's a young man. He says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and which you have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Bible, you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for absolute, for principles, for reproof, for correction, for instruction or admonition, discipline in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, Paul is writing to young Timothy. He's saying, I want you to study the scriptures. You've been taught from childhood. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. They're also good for principles, for morals, correction, reproof, all of those things, that Timothy, you may grow up to be a man of God, a woman of God for the women. You may grow up to be a man of God, a woman of God. What does it say? Thoroughly equipped for every good work, regardless if you go to college or not, regardless if you go to the military or not, regardless of what you do, you'll be equipped for it. See, we're equipping them for education. It thrills us if they get a degree or scholarship or they get a PhD or whatever. But what about their spiritual life? Are we just as excited about what God's doing in their lives? We better get concerned, church. Are we going to lose a generation? If we don't start teaching them and training them at a young age that the Word of God is important, going to church is important, everything spiritual is important, just like your education. And once we do that, amen, that's right. That's exactly right. And I hope that we're hearing this message today because I'm telling you, it's hot in my heart. And I'm convinced that Lindsay Lane is a church that can do it. We're a church that can do it, that we can make a difference in these young people's lives. We are. We already are. We got to continue. We got to see the vision, and we got to get focused, okay? Y'all with me? All right, let's keep preaching. Let's go. That's the goal. Now, the answer is found in verse 14 and 15. You must continue the things which you have learned, and that your mom and daddy taught you, you learned over in Awana, Sunday school, and so forth. Continue to do those things, knowing from whom you have learned them, knowing they're from God, knowing that your parents taught you that. And then look in verse 15, very important verse of scripture, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture. From childhood, you have learned to recite scripture, you have learned the scripture. They're able to make you wise for salvation. We just saw two young little girls baptized. And some of you are saying, well, I just think they're too young. Well, you don't know what's in their heart. God does. And so we'll just trust God with it, right? Until we know any better, we'll just trust God with that. And so I tell you one thing, they've been hearing about Jesus in this church. Their parents have been leading them here. Their parents have been bringing them to Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. They've been in Awana. They've been in Mission Friends. They've been in We Praise. They've been in those things. All they hear about Jesus, this church, is Jesus, Jesus. So it doesn't surprise me that we've seen a lot of children baptized. Amen. And then at the home, their parents are teaching them about the things of God. Now, where did Timothy hear it? Well, he probably hung around the church. Oh, before he got there. Look back, turn back a page and look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5. I'll show you where he heard it. Look in verse 5, 2 Timothy 1. Paul wrote to Timothy, "When I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother, and then she just kind of put it on down to your mother, Lois, and now it's all the way down to Timothy, a generation of Christians handing down the Word of God." Isn't that exciting? It started with grandma. Then her daughter, she trained her in the Word of God. And then he said, "Man, you got all this from your grandmother and your mother. They taught you the Word of God. And now, Timothy, you're called into the ministry. I'm laying hands on you, about to ordain you, young man. You're set for your journey." And see, that's just the way it works, church, and it's an awesome thing. Now, the question is, who are you raising? Who are you raising up as a champion for Christ? I promise you this. Parents, are you listening? If you'll do it in the home, we're going to come alongside of you. We're going to come alongside of you as your church family and help you to raise your children in the way of the Lord. We can't do it for you, but we're going to do it with you. We're right here beside you, and we're going to help you. So you can take that to the bank. I thank God. I'm telling you, I thank God for this church. This is an awesome church because we have caught the vision of young people in this church and raising them up for the glory of God. I had a man tell me this morning, an elderly man, says, "I thank God, Pastor, that you got a heart for the next generation." And I only say that to the glory of God because we had better have a heart for the young people. They're our next leaders, right? We've got some on the mission field. Drew Bowman's out there right now on the mission field. We've got Mary Beth Broadwater right now serving as a missionary on the mission field. There's two. We got others headed out. Michaela is headed out to Africa. And we got others headed out. Taylor's headed out. Taylor Hinkey going on a mission trip. And these young people, they're excited about it. And see, we pounded that in them about missions. And they've caught the vision. And they're launching out. And we've got to launch them. We've got to help them. We've got to support them. Amen? And we're going to do that. With all these entities we got. We got Awanas. We got Sunday school. We got Children's Church. We got We Praise, Kids Praise, Praise 56, Moms Morning Out, Mission Friends. We've got nursery. We've got preschool. We've even got a Christian education. Lindsay Lane, a Christian Academy, K-3 all the way to 12th grade. We've got a homeschool education in our church, as I already mentioned. We got all of these. Our church is doing that to help you to raise up champions for Christ. We're coming alongside of you. Think about children in the Bible like David, like Daniel, like Samson, like Samuel, like Timothy, and even like Jesus, who were raised at an early age to know the Lord. Amen. To know the Lord, to be used of the Lord. These were young people. Here's my next question. What are you raising up? Who are you raising up? Who are you raising up in your home as a champion for Christ? See, what we've done in our society today, listen to me, we've done it in our churches as well. We have underestimated these young people. We sold them short on what they're able and capable to do. We really have. We've underestimated what God can do in these young people's lives. We say, "Well, when you get 25. No, right now. I'm telling you, right now, God's using them. Amen. It's like these two little boys. I heard a story, these two second graders. These two second graders went out at the playground during recess, and a big jet flew over. And the first little boy said, "Well, that's a BX-50. Second little boy said, "No, that's a BX-51. Look at the wing spread." He looked at it and said, "You know, you're right. It is a BX-51. And he said, the youngest one said, "Well, it's not going but probably 760 miles an hour because it didn't break the sound barrier." And on that point, they both agreed as well. It's amazing, the other one said this, "It's amazing the pressure that develops on those planes when they go into a dive." The second boy said, "Yeah, almost 1,200 pounds per square inch." And then the bell rang. And they looked at each other, and the first one said to the other, "Well, it's time to go back in and start coloring." Right? "Y'all come on in and color a little bit." No! They're ready. They're ready for something challenging. I'm telling you, they're ready. They're sick of status quo. They're sick as business as usual. Let's go, adults. Let's get with it. We're raising another generation of champions for Christ. And I'm telling you, they're ready. They really are. Talk to them. Get to know their heart. We've just kind of underestimated them. We really have. Our society as a whole, we're so focused on sports. We're so focused on pleasure. We're so focused on them being popular that we've neglected these students in their spiritual matters. You don't like me saying that, but that's the honest to God truth. It's because we have neglected what God's building in their heart in these young people. And it's time that we bring it out and we challenge them and we lead them by example. And I'm telling you, God's raising up a great generation. They're making a difference. I want you to listen to this. I found this on the internet as I was surfing. After I surfaced, I surfed, all right? Oh, boy. It's hard trying to be intellectual, isn't it? In 1941, now I want you to listen to this quote. This was quoted in 1941 by Walter Lippmann. He made this statement. Day after day, our young people are subjected to bombardment of naturalism and humanism with all of its animosity to Christianity. In the formative years of their lives, or at least during the period of their education, where their ideas are crystallizing, they must listen and absorb to these ideas of man, to the world, and to the religions of the world. With these facts before them, why do we as Protestants wonder that Christianity has so little influence over our young people? That was said in 1941. It's amazing. See, our society is teaching them a lot of things that are contrary to the Word of God. And that's why it's imperative, families, homes, and church, Lindsay Lane, that we teach them the Word of God. That we teach them properly what the Bible has to say and teach them that. So number one, we must teach them God's Word at a young age. William Lyons Phelps said this. Here's a good quote. Listen to this quote. William Lyons Phelps said, "A knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible." It's a good word, isn't it? And so we've got to get it in perspective. So number one, we must teach them God's Word at a young age. Here's number two, very quickly. We must train them. Teach them and train them. Consistently involve your children in God's way, in the things of God, in the way of God. Proverbs 22:6, if you want to turn there. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, you know this passage of Scripture. I've used it a lot. The writer's proverb, Solomon, says this, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart from that training." Now, what he's saying here is to train them up. That word train in the Hebrew word is hanak, H-A-N-E-K. That word simply means that the Hebrew wise mothers, they used to take date syrup, and they would put it on the gums of the baby so they would nurse. And so they trained them to nurse the mothers because of this, of the date syrup that they would use. And so that's what he's talking about. Train them up in the way they should go. Train them up in God's way, in the way they should go, and they won't depart from that training. Training goes a step beyond teaching. You teach them, and then you must train them. We must train them up in the way of the Lord. It includes positive motivation, as well as modeling good behavior before your child. You know, it's one thing to teach them things. It's another thing to show them, isn't it? You can teach them all day long, but our children want you to show me the way. Show me the way. Live it in front of me. Be a model. Be an example. And train me. Train me by example and teach me the Word of God. Here's a problem we have at times. The example and the inspirations that they're receiving at home and at church and at school and the world. Sometimes we're not the best example, so we need to work on that. All of us need to make sure that we're example, and you know, we're training up our children the way they should go. It's very important. Patch and I really claim this verse of Scripture. You've heard this story before, but Patch and I really claim this passage of Scripture one day. It just really resonated in our hearts, and we just really memorized it and began to just say, and listen, let's train them up. And when they're old, we know they're going to go through the teenage years. I would imagine to say everybody in here has been through those years to where we start sowing our own oats, and we kind of get away from things, and we have a little streak in us. I don't know why that is, but we go through a period there. And see, the Bible's saying, listen, if you train them up in the formative years, if you'll train them up when they're real little, they'll retain a lot of that. They retain when you memorize Scripture, when you put it in their heart, when you live by example. Yes, they may drift away for a season, but they will retain if you're really serious and you're living in front of them and you train them up, they'll retain most of that. They really will. I can remember things. I told y'all about getting kicked out of our trailer court. 6 years old, I remember that. See, I retained a lot of that stuff, and I remember a lot of things. I was reminiscing this week about my dad, and you know, even though I was a little boy, I remember a lot of those things that my dad instilled in my life, a lot of those by example that he lived. And see, that your children, as a spiritual leader in your home, your children are going to remember the example you set before them. Timothy did. Timothy did by his grandmother and his mother. He recalled, though, his dad was a Greek in Acts chapter 16. But his mama was a Jew, and his grandmother, he said, listen, retain those things that you've learned as a young boy. It's more than taking them to church and dropping them off. It really is. You take them to church. By the way, if you take them to church and drop them off, yeah, we're going to teach them, but you just set a bad example. It's important for you, but not for me. Now, you go down to Lindsay Lane, you learn, but I'm going to go over here and do my thing. What a pitiful example. Amen? And so we got to lead by example. It's more than memorizing Scripture in Awana, as good as that is. I'm glad that we teach our children to memorize Scripture in Awana. It's more than that. It's more than Sunday school. It's more than we praise and on. It's more than that. We've got to teach them and train them by example. Live it in front of them. I'm telling you, you'll never, never regret that as long as you do that. We as parents are to train them up in the way of the Lord because, here's why. Why do you train them up in the way of the Lord? Because one day they're going to graduate. One day they're going to graduate. And then the ball's in their court. And you're going to find out how little control you really do have over them when they get 18 years old. And they're going to make sure you know it. Amen? I'm 18. I'm a man now. I'm an adult. And they're going to try you on that. And so they are. They really are. I remember my daughter, Haley, got married at 18. And I didn't want her to. Her mother didn't want her to. She get married at 18? Sure did. Sure did. Now, God's blessed it. Blessed my son-in-law, her husband, Chuck. Blessed him with four beautiful children, all of that. He blesses those things. You know why I believe that? Listen, are you listening? I'm just being honest. Train them up in the way of the Lord. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I just believe that. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, I know. There's exceptions to that. Please. I know somebody say, that's not a promise in the Bible. I understand all the theology behind it. All I know is I just claimed it, and I think I'm reaping some benefits from that. So you can do with it what you want, but I'm telling you, the reason I say that is this. You've raised them. You've trained them. There's a time when you got to let them go. You got to let them go. And so what you've instilled in them is going to be their guidance. It's going to be their principle. It's going to be their barometer. It's going to be their guideline, their benchmark, what you planted in their heart. That's why it's so important. It really is. That training, it starts in the home. By the way, it's caught more than it's taught. You know that. Here's an old proverbial saying. Listen to this. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And see, we live in a... Here's the problem. I'll just have to go because I'm out of time. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Here's the problem. We've been duped. We've been duped to believe that you separate the sacred from the secular. That's what society is trying to teach us. You know what that's called, by the way? Separation of church and state. We've been duped to believe that you separate the sacred from the secular. Yeah, go on down there to church, sing your songs, read your Bible, and then come on back to us. And then Monday through Saturday, you just do what you want to, and then go back to Sunday and put on the sacred hat, put on the spiritual stuff, and then Monday through Saturday, just do what you want, because that's separation of church and state. You see, the secular out here, you just be who you want to be. Now, you be what parents and God want you to be on Sunday, but the rest of the time, you just kind of hang loose and do what you want to. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. There's no such thing as separation of church and state in the sense that you do what you do on Sunday and then do what you want to the rest of the time. You don't put your faith on the shelf. You don't put it on the pew or the pulpit. That's who you are. Young people, that's who you are. You're a Christian 365. And so we don't just separate the sacred from the secular. You just can't do that. And we tried to do that in society. By the way, there's professors going to expect you to do that. There's going to be colleges, there's going to be professors, there's going to be people, there's going to be employers who expect you to leave all that stuff at church. Now, you got to be smart with it, but I'm telling you, you cannot separate your faith. You just can't do it. It's just impossible to do that. It's more than a philosophy, isn't it? It's more than a theory that I have. It's my life. It's who I am. That's why in Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." You don't separate that. It's part of who we are. You be consistent with it. Let me give you number three. We got to teach them so they'll know the Word of God at a young age. We got to train them up to be involved in God's way and God's work. And then number three, we've got to instruct them and teach them responsibility in God's work, in God's way, all right? Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look back with me just for a second. Look in verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. Now notice this, and for instruction in righteousness. That word instruction means discipline. It means admonition, that you train them up in the Lord and instruct them, you discipline them, you give them the Word of God, and you instruct them in the Word of God. That's what that word's talking about. It's talking about discipline. Proper discipline is essential. I'm not talking about spanking here, by the way. I'm talking about discipline them in the things of God. I'm talking about teaching them principles and morals and values, godly things. You learn to discipline yourself in those things. You know, Awana takes discipline. For a child to read their book, to memorize those scriptures, you got to have instruction. You got to have discipline to do that. They're just not going to do it on their own. It takes some guidance. It takes some instruction from the leadership of the home to make sure they're getting their spiritual things just like they do their physical things. So that's very important. Godly discipline. Listen to this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:11. Here's what it says. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Right? And so graduates, you're growing up. You're young men. You're young women. 18 years old. 17, 18, 19. Right in there as a high school graduate. College graduates, around 20-something. So you're not a child anymore. You need to realize this is serious stuff I'm preaching on today. It's your life. It's who you are. And if we're going to make a difference in these young people, parents, we've got to grow up as well. It's time that we really focus on the next generation. And I know you want to do that just like your pastor wants to do that. Little Johnny was all grown up, and he was talking to a friend one day about how smart he was in math. And the friend asked little Johnny, he said, "Where'd you attend college?" And he told him where he attended. He said, "Well, you know what? That college turns out some good people." He said, "When'd you graduate?" He said, "I didn't graduate. I just got turned out." And so we may just be turning out some, but some are getting it. These young people are getting it. I'm proud of them. I'm proud to be their pastor. And I'm proud of this church for coming alongside of them. It really is. And see what's happening. We got to teach them responsibility. This is something in our generation. You know this. I know this. We've lacked teaching responsibility because we've lacked leading it. You know, our young people have become more of consumers than contributors. because of the mentality of the parents. Not, you know, we underestimate them. We underestimate them. I'm telling you, they want to be a contributor, not a consumer. They're ready. They're ready to engage. They don't want to be entitled. We talk about entitlement. It's maybe we've led them that way, but a lack of responsibility. We need to challenge them. We need to say, hey, you can do this, and move on with them. The results are low expectations. We have low expectations. Now, someone has said this. Listen to this. The teen years are not a vacation from responsibility. They are training ground of future leaders who dare to be responsible now. Who dare to be responsible now. They're teenage years. They can be responsible. They want to get involved. The generation of teenagers, they're just ready for a chance. They really are. They've had it up to their mullets. In status quo. Business as usual. This generation, these you saw walk across this stage, and those the others following them in our college graduates. I'm telling you, they're mobile. They're creative. They're innovative. They're ready to engage. They really are. They're ready to engage. They're ready to get out there and do it. They're active. They're intelligent. They have high expectations. They are extremely socially connected. They're electronic gurus. They really are. Listen to what Joseph Porras said as I close. Listen to this. Joseph Porras said this. Teens have created a new form of communication called texting. It's a reflection of how young people want to communicate, matching their lifestyle. It's all about multitasking, speed, privacy, and control. That's what it's all about. It's nothing new anymore. We know what texting is about. Did you know there's over 1 billion texts each day by young people? It's no surprise that 48% of teenagers said they could text blindfolded. I call it thumb disease. I mean, it is. I'm telling you, they can do it. And that's the way they communicate. That's just a new generation. And see, we don't understand. I don't understand it half the time, and you don't either. That's just the way they communicate. They're a different generation than we are. And they're communicating here. And we got to be smart enough to accept that. They're in a different generation than we are. And so we've got to train them and teach them and then let them use their social skills. Let them use what we've trained them to grow up to be. And so I'm excited about that potential that we have here at Lindsay Lane to do that. I really am. You see, young people, listen to me. God's not as concerned about your ability as He is your availability. He wants you available to use by Him, like Daniel and David and Samson. Those young people. He just wants you to be available to Him. I'll close with this. Two quotes and I'm done. Howard Kelly, who was a renowned surgeon, gynecologist. Listen to this, young people. On the night of his graduation from medical college, he wrote this in his diary. He said, I dedicate myself, my time, my capabilities, my ambition, everything to God. Blessed Lord, sanctify me to thy uses. Give me no worldly success which may not lead me nearer to my Savior. What a powerful, powerful quote. Jim Elliot. You know who Jim Elliot? He was a missionary to the Aqua Indians in Ecuador. I've had the privilege of going right where he was killed. And Jim Elliot died as a martyr on the mission field. He made this quote. God, I pray thee. Light these idle sticks of my life that I might burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. He did have a limited life. He died as a martyr. But he'd already committed his life to Christ. He'd already committed his life to ministry. God, just use me as you see fit. I'm telling you, that's dedication. And so I want to encourage you, young people, graduates, teenagers, children, parents, grandparents. I want to challenge you today to raise up a champion for Christ. You'll never regret it. You'll never, ever regret raising them up as a champion for Christ. It's a good thing to play sports. I love sports. I've played sports most of my life. I've got some injuries to show it. I want to tell you something about this philosophy that we have right now in our society. Those things are well and good. You know, everybody wants their child to be a Tim Tebow. It's kind of very rare that every child is going to be like Tim Tebow. They can be a Christian, but to do what he's been able to do, and I know that's what we look for and all of that, maybe a Philip Rivers, something like that, or whoever. The odds of your child being that is very, very, very slim to have the platform that they have. But I want to tell you something. Every single one of these kids can have a platform for Jesus. Every one of them. It don't have to be sports. It could be some other avenue God wants to use them in. And see, we got to think, oh, I just want them to do this. And I'm telling you, those years will quickly fade, and then they're left with the training that you gave them. That's what they're left with. And I'm telling you, when you put Jesus in these young people, we're raising up a force that the Satan or hell can't do anything with. And that's what the church needs to be doing. That's our responsibility, is raise up champions for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray that it would seep into our heart even as I'm speaking. Father, I pray that we would realize the urgency of the hour, that, Lord, time is running out. Lord, we're seeing on the news every night, every day. We've been bombarded with humanism, Lord, with hedonism, with pleasures. Anything goes. And Lord, we need some young people, a generation coming behind us to help make a difference for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I believe Lindsay Lane is a church that you put your hand upon. There's other churches that are doing the same thing. I thank God for them. They really are. But Lord, I know right here in this church that you're raising up a generation of young people. And Lord, we're going to give them a platform. We're going to make a venue for them so they can bring their friends in. And so, Lord, we can all together study the Word of God, hear the Word of God, sing and worship you in freedom and in truth, that we may make a difference in our society, our culture, in our land today. So, Lord, I'm just praying right now for this invitation. Some, Lord, may be convicted of their sin that they need to, that the Savior, Jesus, is their Savior and Lord. I pray they would come today, that, Lord, you have shown them today by the Holy Spirit that they need to be saved. I pray they would walk forward and say, listen, I just want to be a Christian. I want to know I have Jesus in my heart. Some need to come and just repent of their sin. They are a Christian, but they've gotten into something. They've gotten wayward, whatever it is. I pray they would just come and say, I just want to repent. I want to confess. They may just want to do it at the altar. Some just may want to come and say, I want to be a part of a church like Lindsay Lane that's got direction, that's got vision. And I want our family to be a part of this church that we can raise up another generation. So, Lord, I pray for this invitation. Have your will and your way, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with us? And would you come as God so leads? I'm going to ask you to come right now.
Blood of Jesus be my own. All my hope and righteousness in your mercy.